I'm Jim Moray in Los Angeles. The preliminary hearing, day four, set to resume again after this lunch break, just about 4 minutes from now. In the meantime, what's happened today...
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Stoffo.
It all started about 5 months ago when our next guest first appeared on the show and then received a personalized America Weekend mug created by, yes, Christina.
Uh-huh.
He officially then became a friend of the program. He is the chief correspondent for Inside Edition. It's always a pleasure to say hello to Jim Moray. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. I use that mug every day. It's on my desk right now.
Yes.
See?
I'd love to hear that.
Now, tell us how the mug has changed your life.
Has it really changed your life?
You know, coffee tastes better.
Oh, yes.
The day feels brighter.
See?
And life is richer.
See that?
You are an amazing man.
Just because of a mug, but because the mug was made with such care.
The mug was made with love.
Yes.
You know?
And that's, frankly, that's very evident, because when I got the mug, I thought, wow, who made this? And I did not know you made this, Christina.
Yeah, I make them.
See? See, we actually had Deborah thinking that Christina sits like, you know, in the spinning wheel and the whole thing.
I just make the design.
Yes, but it is quite a mug. And so it's like a one of a kind, which is so cool on so many different levels.
It's extremely personal. And to be honest with you, that made it special.
Oh, thank you.
Very nice. All right, we are past the Oscars now, and so let's talk about covering the Oscars. What are some of the things the average viewer may not understand about what it's like to cover an event so big like the Oscars?
You know, I was talking to a friend about this the other day. I think this was my 26th Oscars.
Wow.
To cover. And I was four when I started.
Here's the preschool report with Jim Moray.
And, you know, it's very easy to become cynical and go, oh, brother, we have to be herded like cattle in tuxedos and gowns and things like that. But you have to remember that 900 plus million people around the world watch this event,
mm-hmm.
and it's really special. And you can't forget that. So I constantly remind myself as I walk out on that red carpet just before we're all brought into this area where we're basically roped off and, you know, please don't feed the celebrities kind of situation. And it's a tough event to cover because there's so many media outlets and the celebrities walk down this long, almost endless line, and they're asked many of the same questions over and over, and they have to remember that each person they're talking to is hearing what they're saying for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of a dance, really. It's just a dance between publicists, celebrities, and reporters.
I have a question.
Sure.
Because something very weird happens at the Oscars when I was watching.
Mm-hmm.
Stacey Dash comes out on stage and she makes a really bad joke about, hey, you know, help me celebrate Black History Month. And she got no reaction out of the crowd. And
there
I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Cricket. Yeah.
I was that was awkward.
It was extremely awkward. The joke, of course, was Stacey Dash, who appeared in Clueless,
right,
is a Republican who appears as a contributor on Fox, and she doesn't support the Black Lives Matter. She supports All Lives Matter. She thinks that this is overblown. And you know, so for her to come out and celebrate Black History Month, it doesn't make any sense. That was the joke, but the setup wasn't there. And I think if you didn't know her background, you're going, who is that, and why is this supposed to be funny?
Right.
The people in the audience, I think, are going, I know her, and why is she talking about Black History Month?
Well,
and, you know, and I saw The Weeknd's expression, you know, the singer The Weeknd.
Right.
And he looked like he just wanted to crawl under the chair in front of him.
Yeah, no kidding.
There were several cringes in the audience.
Oh,
and you
yeah.
could just feel, and it was such a feeling of tension that was so palpable as you're watching at home, and she seemed nervous, and Clueless is, you know, like decades ago now, so it's like, who is this?
Yeah, but
and
she...
it took a little while, so unless you're kind of really tuned into the idea as to what she is politically at this point, you just didn't get the joke.
But I
didn't
think,
get it.
I think it goes further than that, because she made some weird comments, like when this whole thing came out, she made weird comments about, you know, well, if they're going to say this, then there shouldn't be a BET, and,
right.
and there shouldn't be a Black
right.
History Month. It should be all the time, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, I get it, but nobody got it.
No.
And it was it shouldn't have happened, I don't think.
Right.
That's a great example of the Oscars playing to two crowds. One is the room, the
right.
auditorium, and the other is home.
Mm.
Now, I think a lot of people in the auditorium know who she is, but without the setup,
right.
most viewers, you go to Iowa and they're going, who's that?
Right.
And why does she look so uncomfortable? And why is she saying something I don't understand?
It was so awkward.
And even
Chris Rock,
when she, as soon as it happened, he knew that the whole thing fell so far short.
Yeah.
And you know, it was, and it, you had to just kind of rebuild the momentum after that, but not a good moment at all.
No.
You are also covering the presidential election at Times for Inside Edition. How different is it this time from a, for a journalist from the standpoint of these outsider campaigns? Now, Trump still with tons of momentum. Bernie Sanders still with momentum, not doing as well down in the South as he did in New Hampshire and Iowa, of course. But how different is it this cycle with these two predominant outsider campaigns going on?
Well, I think Trump has changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump has made the election, I guess he's made it a reality show. And you know, the fact is, he gets a tremendous amount of coverage. He dwarfs all of the other candidates who have to pay for ads. He doesn't need ads. He's getting coverage everywhere he goes. And I think it's really frustrating to the traditional politicians. They're going, wait a minute, what's happening? This is ridiculous. But he's tapped into an anger and a frustration, and people are fed up with the way things are. And I think that they're looking for a change. And the fact is that he's also benefited from a crowd of Republican candidates. It was, what, initially 12 candidates or so. So it was so marginalized that when he was able to get 15, then 20, and then 30%, it was enough to win in different primaries. And so he's benefited from that, and he's got extreme name recognition. He knows how to play the news. He knows how to play the crowd. He knows how to make headlines. And he knows how to shock. And he's a smart guy. You know, you can't just dismiss him, as I think many Republicans did. Bernie Sanders is tapping into a similar frustration among the Democratic Party. But if you notice, you know, you look at each side, and there's far left and there's far right. And there used to be a time when moderate was a good word, and I don't think it's a good word anymore. So there seems to be fringes on both sides that are appealing to people who feel kind of disenfranchised.
I feel like Trump is also, you know, he's playing the other candidates. I mean, he is making these other candidates stoop to a level where they are saying, oh, he has small hands, and like making these weird, like childish jokes on him. And it's kind of like, well, you know, why don't you tell me how you feel about climate change or the state of the economy? Don't just sit here all like for an hour and mock Donald Trump. Like, talk to me about what you're going to do to make this country better. And I feel like Trump is playing them into doing that, though.
Well, look,
I think the Republican race has been reduced to a WWE.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, the way the debates have gone, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's almost like watching a bunch of kids trying to outdo each other with, as they play rank out on the playground at middle school.
Right.
You know, who's got bigger hands? You know what that means? Ha, ha,
ha. That's what I mean. It's like they're stooping to a very low level.
And what's very telling about this now is you don't really have the general electorate paying that much attention. You still have those that are most interested in the party politics. Once we get past this, Jim, and we head into the summer and past the conventions, and we really start to focus towards the general election, will the media cover Trump the same way they are? And will these tactics for Trump, if he is the nominee, will it still work when he's playing to a larger, more attentive audience once we hit Labor Day?
I think that to win a nomination for your party is very different from a general election.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that Donald Trump is saying may come back to haunt him. I know the Democrats are making a list of everything he's saying, and they're going to make ads based on every single one of them. And then the Republican side are looking at all of the different controversies surrounding Hillary Clinton, presuming she's the nominee, and they're going to do the same. It will be a battle royale.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. And it will not be the Lincoln Douglas debates. Let's just say that.
What's sad though, is that I think that it doesn't matter what ads the Democrats come out with against Trump. I think that Trump has a way of, I don't want to use the word manipulating, but manipulating, you know, the population into really believing things that he has to say. He has that very straightforward way of bringing information to you that you say, oh, well, he kind of makes sense when he says that. And it's Donald Trump. And you're like, oh, when you sit back and think about it, you're like, I can't believe I'm listening to this guy.
Well, and there's part of you that probably hates yourself for liking
him. Right.
See that?
Right.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Oh.
It's like the Hershey bar. You know it's not good for you, but you can't put it down. The other thing I want to
I like Hershey bars. Don't talk about
it. Oh, I love them. That's why I use the analogy. See, it's my kryptonite. Well, once again, he is the owner of an amazing one-of-a-kind mug. We will not forget that. Deborah Norville has one too, but Jim's is nicer. We'll tell you that right now. And he is always a great guest. Don't forget to catch him on Inside Edition. Check your local listings and time and for time and channel. Jim Murray, as always, thank you for joining us here on America Week. Weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim.
Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalenge.
I'm Christina Salfo.
And this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Where are they now? With Ahmad Rashad.
In 1984, this three-time Indianapolis 500 winner became the first driver to go 215 miles per hour at an Indy qualifier. So where is Johnny Rutherford now? Johnny was inducted into the International Motorsports Hall of Fame in 1996 and has worked for NBC, CBS, ABC, and ESPN. He serves as the pace car driver at all IRL events. And the first Lone Star Johnny Rutherford Award was presented at the 2013 Indy 500 Breakfast. Johnny Rutherford, still driving in circles. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Welcome to American Biker Minute. Fourth quarter 2015 earnings has one motorcycle and all-terrain manufacturer seeing red. Harley-Davidson, Victory, and Indian. Mano a mano on the earnings trail. Today on American Biker Minute.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Jeff Ryan from American Biker Minute. Scott Wine, head at Polaris, maker of Victory at Indian Motorcycles, saw the stock fall 10% on the day after the company reported a brutal fourth quarter from 2015. Levitich saw hog earnings decrease 4.9% for the whole year, but operating revenue in the motorcycle division decreased by 12.7%. Both Polaris and Harley-Davidson stock multiples are way off recent highs. Lately, this can be said for a majority of public corporations. American Biker Minute, your fast break in news.